Different things what Lord Krishna came to teach us. Lord Krishna is a Anubhav Pradhan. Anubhav Pradhan in the sense is that he came, if you see Krishna's pastimes, what did he do? He is, through his pastimes, he actually gave so much of bliss or happiness to all the devotees. And also, one other thing that in different scriptures, Lord Krishna's pastimes have been elaborately described. That means there are so many verses which describes about Lord Krishna's pastimes. Whereas in Valmiki Ramayana, if you see, there are only like 10 verses which describe about the Lord Rama's pastimes. The Lord Rama's Balakanda, that means his childhood pastimes. Whereas Krishna's pastimes are elaborately described, his childhood pastimes. So that's why Krishna is an Anubhav Pradhan, where he comes us to teach, like to impart us his fascinating experiences. Whereas Lord Rama is Anushthana Pradhan, meaning he comes us to teach us the human lessons. What are those human lessons? Those are morality, discipline, how to live a virtuous life. So that is what Lord Rama's purpose is, to come and teach us to every living entity. And the story begins in a very turmoil state in one way. All the demigods were completely perplexed. They were so much harassed and tortured by the Ravana and all the demons. And they go to Lord Brahma and they pray to Lord Brahma, please help us. Help us from this precarious condition what we are into. Because we have been tortured, we have been tormented, we have been harassed, we have been beaten, we have been bruised by these Rakshasas. And now we have only one shelter, that is you. And then Lord Brahma starts narrating that why these Rakshasas have become so powerful. Because all the demigods wanted to know how come all of a sudden these Rakshasas have become so powerful and they could overpower all the demigods. And from where they could get such kind of immense power. So Lord Brahma started describing. So these Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shurpanakha and Vibhishana, they were siblings. They were born to Kaikashi. Kaikashi was a daughter of Sumali. Sumali was a Rakshasa. And Kaikashi was married to Vishrava. And Vishrava had two wives. One was Kaikashi and another wife from whom he begot Kubera. And Kubera, as you all know, he is the treasurer of all the demigods. And he got he got a land of Lanka, this Lanka, where it was actually designed specifically as a holiday house or as a holiday paradise for the demigods. And Kubera was in charge of that, along with Vishwamitra, the architect. Okay, they designed the entire Lanka. So that was Kubera. Later on, Ravana grabbed the entire Lanka from Kubera. He actually banished him. That's the later story. These four siblings, they did a lot of penance. And who instigated them? Who actually told them to do a penance? It was his own mother, the Kaikashi. Because Kaikashi, as women generally have one of the tendencies, they try to compare. So this was Kaikashi's one of the mistakes in one way. She started comparing with Vishrama's co-wife, co-wife's son, because he was very opulent. He was Kubera, you all know, he's a treasurer, and he had so much of opulence. So as she was comparing that my son, they have very less power, they have very less opulence, then she started instigating them that you should go and do some penance. And then all four siblings, they went and they started doing a penance. Many, many years they did a lot of austerities of not eating and not drinking at all, not even sleeping. That's how they did an immense austerity. And they did a lot of penance. And then Lord Brahma finally appeared. Of course, Ravana went to an extent to cut his all cut his all his hairs. When he was about to cut his last hair, that's when actually Brahma appeared. And then he said, okay, stop. Don't do such a gory or ghastly thing. Whatever you want, please ask me. And then he was very shrewd. But of course, simultaneously, he was proud and also very arrogant. He forgot a couple of things. He thought, if at all I want to get immortal, I want to become immortal, I should ask for some boons. That way I can become immortal. So he asked me, please do not give me death from demigods, from sages, from Kinnaras, from Nagas, from Gandharvas, because these are all celestial beings. And so he was arrogant and he was proud. He thought that what these human beings who are such a small creature, what they will do to me? What harm they will cause to me? And he also forgot one more species. Those were Vanaras. He thought that what these monkeys will do, they will not actually cause any harm to me. So he forgot these two species. But he asked to Brahma that please give me this boon that I become immortal. Brahma said, okay, fine, that's fine. I will actually give you this boon. Now here you can see that what happens, Lord Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. That from where comes the intelligence? Intelligence is a God-given faculty. Like nobody can actually command it. It can actually trigger whenever Lord sanctions it. Now here, Ravana tried to be a manipulative. And with that manipulative mind, he went and tried to see the blessings from Brahma. Now blessings are actually they come from a heart, from an appeased heart. It is not that when you go with someone with a crooked mind or with a crooked heart. So Ravana was arrogant and also very manipulative. And so does Brahma. In disguise, he also was he manipulated the things. So he made him forget these two things, these two species. One was human being and second was Vanaras. Then his brother Kumbhakarna, he also asked benediction. And Kumbhakarna was really gigantic. Kumbha means the big parts. Karna means his ears. So his ears were such a huge, gigantic that big human beings, all big mountains can go into his ears. But ears are meant for what? They're meant to hear about the glories of Lord. But instead, he used to just feed all the garbage. That's the mistake which Kumbhakarna did. And then he was about to ask that please make me give me Indrasana. And that's when Saraswati Devi, she went and sat on his stomach. And then instead of asking Indrasana, he asked her the Nidrasana. And then he wanted that, okay, I want Devastom, Nir Devastom. That means I do not want any demigods. I want to annihilate all the devtas or devas. So he wanted to ask Nir Devastom. But instead of that, he asked him Nidrastom. Give me the sleep. So this is what he started asking to Lord Brahma. He wanted to ask Nityatvam. That means he wanted to ask an eternity. But instead of that, he asked that Nidrastom. Nidrastvam. So this is how. Nidrastvam means, Nidra means sleep. So I guess give me sleep. Eternally give me a sleep. And later on he came to his senses, he realized, my God, what a mistake I did. And then he started asking, please actually reverse this road. Retract the boon, whatever I have asked it. But Lord Brahma said, how can I do that? Anyone who asks me, I have to just give that boon. And now I cannot retract it, but I can just as a corollary, as a remedy, I can do one thing. I will give you 6 months of sleep and 6 months of you can be awake. And then he thought, okay, at least something is better. And then that's how Kumbhakarna got the benediction. And then Shurpanakha. Now Shurpanakha, the name itself also, you see that
Shurpa. Shurpa means actually sharp. Okay. And the Nakha means knees. She had sharp knees. And she was vicious. So what she had, as she, from her birth, from her childhood, she had a very ugly body. And she wanted to become somehow beautiful. So she asked Lord Brahma, please give me a boon by which I can actually take whatever form I can. Give me a wishful, like, you know, wishful form. So I can transform myself to any form whenever I want to. Lord Brahma said, okay, tathastu. So this is how all, oh, of course, we had the fourth one. The fourth one was Vibhishana. Vibhishana also asked the boon. And then he actually pronounced his boon, that this is what the boon which I want. He said, my dear Lord Brahma, please give me unflinching devotional service at the lotus feet of Supreme Lord. And when all the siblings heard about it, they thought he is actually a big traitor. He doesn't belong to our dynasty. Because in a dynasty, in our Kulatsa dynasty, nobody can actually ask a devotion to Lord Krishna or Lord Rama or to Lord Vishnu. And he's asking such a insane boon. So Vibhishana was completely an exception. He was an odd man out. The reason was that when Kaikashi was married to Vishrava, Kaikashi, she married with an intention so that she can get she can beget some sons and they can become more powerful. So with that intention, she married Vishrava, and Vishrava later realized that she had such a vicious plan, and then he actually cursed her. Go, you will get a blood seekers, like a blood seeking monsters as a son. And then she came to her senses again. She said, my God, what kind of curse you have given to your own wife. Please, I beg at your lotus feet, give me some another benediction and retract this curse. He said, no, I cannot. But I can give you one boon, that from your own womb, you will actually give a birth to one great devotee of Lord Vishnu. And that son is actually Vibhishana. So Vibhishana, so these four siblings later, they stayed in Lanka. Now Lanka's beauty was such a high, it was actually glittering, that such kind of palaces were nowhere on the in this entire creation in one way. And he pretty much dominated all the demigods and put them as his own servants. This Ravana. Ravana had a big, gigantic asana, the simhasana. That means his the place where he sits and rules. So for his simhasana, there were steps. In every step, all the nine devatas who are actually presiding the nine planets which govern pretty much the life of all living entities. So they, Navagrahas, which you call them. So Navagrahas, he pretty much put them on each steps. And they were bowing down to him whenever they actually walk through those stairs. So Ravana was such a monstrous, and he even employed Surya, the sun god, the wind god, even the rain god. Whenever he wanted any light or any heat, he actually summoned sun god. Whenever he wanted some rain, he summoned rain god. Whenever he wanted some breeze, he summoned Vayu, the lord of air. So this is what Ravana was doing. He was torturing all the demigods. And under such torture, under such tremor, under such fear, all the demigods were living. And they were pretty much afraid of Ravana, what he's going to do next. And then with that fear, they went to Lord Brahma, and they were seeking some help out of it. And when Brahma told that, do not fear, that I have given such kind of a benediction to them, to all of to Ravana, to Kumbhakarna, and even to Shurpanakha, they are going to die at some point of time when Lord Vishnu will appear onto this earth. So then, at that point of time, Lord Vishnu appears. He immediately appears. Now there is a stark difference between demigods and Ravana. Now what was Ravana? Ravana spent all his life, and in fact he was about to give his life just to get the boons from Brahma. That's what was Ravana did. And what did demigods do? They didn't do anything at that point of time. But before that, what did they do? They actually served him. They served Lord Ram, Lord Vishnu, by doing a nice administration of this entire universe. So this is what they did. They nicely served Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu, as a benediction, as a out of compassion, then he came there. So he grants, or he extends his compassion to the devotees, even if they do not undergo such kind of a penances or austerities. So that's what the demigods had that wonderful quality. Now, when Lord Vishnu appeared, there is one unique thing which has happened. What does Lord Vishnu have? Lord Vishnu has four things, like four different four different symbols. What are those? Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. Shankha, what does Shankha represents? Shankha means the Panchajanya Shankha. The Shankha represents that it blows away or dispels the ignorance and give rise to the spiritual knowledge. So that's what the Shankha does. Whereas the Gada, what does Gada do? Gada actually dispels or try to kill all the demons and try to remove all the demonic power. That is what the Gada does. Now, Shankha Chakra, Shankha Chakra, what does the chakra does? Chakra does that. Chakra chases away all the ignorance and brings us brings light of knowledge into our heart. And what does the Shankha does? Shankha does, as I was saying, it gives rise to hope in the heart of the devotees, and it shatters the heart of the enemies. That's what the Shankha does. And the Padma, what does the Padma does? Padma is it actually represents the progeny or the creation aspect. Now, when Lord Vishnu appeared at that point of time, he did not have the Padma, because that was the time for annihilation. It was the time for put an end to all the demonic people or demonic mentality or the demons. So that's why Lord Vishnu did not come along with Padma. So he ordered Brahma that now you do one thing. You and along with all the demigods, you take birth in the dynasty of this monkeys and assist me in banishing this Ravana. And that's what all the demigods did. Lord Brahma came himself as Jambavan. Lord Suryadev, Suryadev came as a Sugriv. Indradev came as a Vali, and Hanuman came Vayu came as a Hanuman. So different demigods actually took birth as a different monkey, and they came in the monkey dynasty so that they could assist Lord Ram eventually to get rid of the Ravana. Now, in the due course of time, in the Ayodhya, the then king, he was Dashratha. Dashratha did not have any son at that point of time, and he was actually yearning to have one son. He had all kind of opulences, whatever he could actually imagine, whatever he could think of. Everything he had, but he did not have one thing. He did not have any son. So he was actually very morose, and he was trying to find that how I could get a son. So what did he do? He did a yajna. A yajna called as the Ashwamedha yajna. And what is Ashwamedha? Ashwa means actually the sins. Medha means the purifier. So Ashwamedha yajna means one which purifies all the sins of past life. So he did this Ashwamedha yajna. He actually consulted his entire council members and his two sages, the saintly sages, saintly persons, Vasishtha and Vamadeva. He asked them that how can I get a son? Then they actually gave him a solution that you should do this Ashwamedha yajna. And then the Ashwamedha yajna started. For that Ashwamedha yajna, they also wanted one eligible brahmana, and that eligible brahmana was actually a son-in-law of Romapad Maharaj, and he had a horn. Okay, he was a Rishi Sringi. So Dashrath Maharaj went to Romapad Maharaj because Romapad Maharaj was very close friend of Dashrath Maharaj. So he asked him that, can you please request Rishi Sringi to come to Ayodhya and do this Ashwamedha yajna? And then Rishi Sringi agreed, and then the Ashwamedha yajna started. Because yajna need so much purity, and there has to be so much of chastity, purity, and there should be no mistake should happen while you do the yajna. So all the ministers and even the Vasishtha Muni was taking care that there should not be even a single mistake happen while doing this yajna. So this yajna was going on, so everybody was taking care that no mistake should happen. Because if any mistake happens, then the Brahma Rakshas will come. And they will destroy the entire yajna, and they will destroy even all the sages who were there were doing all the yajna. Brahma Rakshasas are those who in their previous life were Brahmana, but they did an offense, they committed some offense. So in their next life, they become a Brahma Rakshasa. So these Brahma Rakshasas, that's how they were, they actually wait. They wait on the around that yajna arena just to wait and see that any mistake happens, so that they can pounce on and destroy the entire yajna. So everybody was taking care. So in the due course of time, the yajna happened nicely, and the yajna was successful. After the Ashwamedha yajna, then they were supposed to perform the Putra Kamishti yajna. Putra Kamishti means from that yajna he could get the putra, that means the son. So the Putra Kamishti yajna also went successfully. And then from this Putra Kamishti yajna came the one celestial being. He had the golden and black robes, and he came with a golden pot and with a silver lid on it. And then he came with and in that pot was a desert, was a sweet nectarian desert. And then he offered this desert to Dashrath Maharaj. Dashrath Maharaj, his joy was boundless. Then what did he do? He took that desert, and he divided it into two halves. So first half, he gave it to Kaushalya. And then the second half, he divided again into two. And that of the two halves, he gave the first half to Sumitra. No, to Kaikeyi. He gave that to Sumitra. And then the remaining half, whatever he had, he again divided into two halves. And that the third half, from the two halves, one half he gave it to Kaikeyi, and the second half he again gave it to Sumitra. So Sumitra in turn got two halves, and whereas Kaushalya got one half, and Kaikeyi got one half. Now during that time, very miraculous thing has happened, because the order in which the queens had the deserts, and the mood what they had while actually partaking in that desert, that actually pretty much governed that who is going to take birth in the wombs of those queens. Now, when Kaushalya took the first part of the desert, from her womb came Lord Ram. And immediately after that, who came? Kaikeyi took. So Kaikeyi took. So from Kaikeyi came the Bharat Maharaj. So Bharat Maharaj was subordinate to Lord Ram. So he was always subservient or servant to Lord Ram. And then after that, Sumitra drank the desert. So Sumitra had two sons. One was Lakshmana and second was Shatrughna. And Shatrughna and Lakshmana were subservient actually to both Ram and to Bharata. Lakshmana was subservient to Rama and Shatrughna was subservient to Bharat Maharaj. So this is how four sons were born in the family of Bharat Maharaj. Now Kaushalya's one of the name was Rileka. Rileka means one who possessed the divine virtues. That's why from her womb came Lord Ram, and who was a king. While she was partaking the desert, she said that, "Let my son become the king of the entire universe." And then the Sumitra, while she was partaking, her another name was Srileka. She was endowed with opulence, but she was ready to share that quality. All this, whatever opulence she had, she wanted to share with all those who were connected to her. That's why she could get two sons who were actually submissive and they were subservient to both Lord Ram and to Shatrughna. And she actually partook the last one. She was the last one to actually partake the desert. Then the Kaikeyi. Now Kaikeyi also endowed with glory and fame. And she was also ready to share the quality with all those who were around her. And she also prayed that, "Let my son be glorious." So from her womb came Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat Maharaj was servant to Lord Ram. And her son Bharat Maharaj was also as glorious as Lord himself. You can see that. So these are the some of the mystical things which happened. And these pretty much govern that who is going to born and what would be their qualities. That's why it is said that whatever the state of mind the mother carries or mother has during the birth time or during the pregnancy, same thing the child will also carry after their birth. So these three queens bore all the divine children, and they were carrying 12. They were carrying all these four sons for 12 months. Now imagine, from our modern scientific calculation, the pregnancy period is only 9 months. Beyond that, it is considered to be a dangerous one. They don't even allow more than 40 weeks. More than 40 weeks, they do not allow that. They started ringing the alarm bell. So that's what they do. But here, Kaushalya was carrying Lord Ram for 12 months. And Lord Ram, after just at the end of the 12 months, on the 9th day of the waxing moon, at the noon time, in the month of Chaitra, that means around March and April. That is, and when the nakshatra was Punarvasu, Lord Rama took birth. And during that time, all the astrological planets, all the planets were in such an auspiciously constellation was there. So that Lord Rama has to be born at such auspicious occasion. Now everything has significance to it. What is 9 number significance? Anybody if he knows mathematics, they know that 9 number is one of the unique number. If you multiply 9 number with any number, what you see, the resultant number, and if you add that resultant number, it will always give you 9. So this is the unique individuality of the 9, and it is eternal. Okay, so that's the 9. And then another thing about taking birth during the month of Chaitra. What is Chaitra? Chaitra is the month of It is the month of what is the month of April? Please help me. What is the month of April here? Spring. Spring season. So in the spring season, what happens? In the spring season, the flowers blossom and even the trees started flowering. Okay, that's what happens. And it is ever fresh. Like we can see that they are ever fresh. Similarly, Lord Rama was ever fresh and he was eternal. And not only Lord Rama, but even Ramayana is eternal and ever fresh. How many times you read Ramayana? Okay, you always derive some new meanings and you always derive the joy out of it. That's why it is called ever fresh, forever fresh, and it is eternal. And what is the Punarvasu nakshatra? The Punarvasu nakshatra is presided by Aditi, the goddess Aditi. Aditi is the mother of all demigods. And what does she represent? She represents that whoever, she always views everyone and everything with equal vision. So equality was her quality. So Lord Rama always carried the same vision. Everybody, in his eyes, everybody was the same. Everybody was equal. So these were some of the significant aspects during the birth of Lord Rama. Now what happened after the Lord Rama's birth? Of course there was joy everywhere. In the entire kingdom of Ayodhya, everywhere there was function, there was festival, huge festival. There were celestial beings, everybody, they were singing, there was demigods were showering flowers, Gandharvas were chanting, the celestial beings were dancing. Okay, there was celebrations everywhere. The day after that, the 10th day, what happened? Only Lord Rama took birth. That means the next day, who was supposed to take birth? Early in the morning, Kaikeyi gave birth to Bhar Maharaj. And then at the noon, and the next day, the 10th day, Shatrughna and Lakshmana took birth at the noon time. That means Sumitra gave birth to two more children. So here we can see that all the other three sons of Dashrath Maharaj, they followed after Lord Rama. Now everybody's name carries significance. Now after their birth, exactly on the 11th day, Vasishtha, their Kuluguru, that means their family priest, he came. And then he started naming them. Now in Vedic world, every name has some significance. Now these names, he did not have to think about it. They came automatically. When he came and saw Lord Rama, the first thing he pronounced was Rama. His name would be Rama. And what is Rama's, the meaning of the Rama? The reservoir of all pleasure. That's Lord Rama. And then when he came to his Bharata, he said that, okay, Bharata, he pronounced his name as Bharata. And what is the significance of name Bharata? Bharata means one who carries the big load on his head. And then when he came in front of Lakshmana, he said, okay, he will be Lakshman. Lakshmana comes from the name Lakshmi, or in English it means wealth. And then when he came in front of Shatrughna, he said, he will be Shatrughna. Shatrughna means one who conquers his enemies. Now, all these four names and these four four siblings, they carry significance at different levels. One at devotional level, one at society level, one at fundamental level. Let us try to see this. Okay, the significance of all these names. On the devotional level, Lord Rama. Okay, what did he do? He actually led us by example. And he tried to show us by his own example that one should follow the principles of dharma. One should follow the principles of truthful and instruction of wise and learned and sage of sages. And we should follow them. And we should be we should be very righteous person. That is what Lord Rama actually exhibited. And what did Lakshmana exhibited? Lakshmana showed that the purpose of one's life is what? To serve Lord Ram.
That is what is our purpose.
There should be no other meaning to our life than to engage in the devotional service of Lord Ram in totality, through body, mind, words and actions. That was Lakshmana. And the third, Bharata. Now what is Bharata name signifies? Bharata name signifies that one who should follow Lord's command without any question.
This is one of the greatest qualities. Very rarely people generally have it. We are ready even to question Lord also. Why did you, Lord, you do like this? But Bharat Maharaj was like that. He did not even question also. If Lord Rama gave him any instruction. Then Shatrughna, the meaning of Shatrughna is that, okay, serving Lord Ram is important. But equally important is serving the devotee of the Lord Ram. That means the Bharat Maharaj. That was Shatrughna's quality. So this was the meaning on the devotional level. The another meaning on the societal level, that Rama represented Dharma. That means it's religiosity or righteousness. What did Lakshmana represent? Lakshmana represented Artha. Artha means the wealth. Wealth of what? Wealth of service. He was abandoned in service attitude. All the time he wanted to just serve Lord Ram. He didn't want to do anything, just but serve Ram. And then Shatrughna. What did Shatrughna represent? Kama. These are four purusharthas, four aims or purposes of human life. And all these names represent like one purposes. Now Shatrughna represents Kama. Kama means an intense desire to what? To serve our senses? No. Intense desire to serve the devotees of Lord Ram and the Lord. That is Shatrughna. And the Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj is moksha. What does it mean? Does it mean freedom? Liberation? From what? Freedom from the worldly attachments. Not binding to the worldly attachments. And if you see the peculiarity of all these purusharthas or the aims or purpose of life is that now Lakshmana always accompanied Lord Rama. So what does it signify? It signifies that Artha, that means the economical pursuit, should be always guided by the Dharma or the higher wisdom. Rama represented the Dharma. And what does the Shatrughna was always serving Bharat Maharaj. So what does it signify? Kama should always be directed towards moksha. So it indicates that our desire should always be directed for the perfection of life, not for enjoyment of our senses or gratifying our senses. And at the fundamental level, what all these four things signify? It signifies that Lord Rama is Supreme Lord Himself. Lord Rama is Supreme Lord Himself. And what does Lakshmana represent? Lakshmana was Ananta Shesh. And Bharat Maharaj came from the Sudarshan Chakra. And the fourth one, Shatrughna, came from Shankha, the Panchajanya Shankha. In other words, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Vasudev. These are the four, the quadruple expansions of Lord Krishna. We have seen in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now Lord Rama represents the Vasudev expansion, Lakshmana represents the Sankarshan expansion, Bharat Maharaj represents the Pradyumna expansion, and Shatrughna represents the Aniruddha expansion. So these were the three different significances which is described in scriptures. Now what were the four reasons for the Lord Rama's manifestation? Now two were known to the world, but two were actually hidden. We just try to briefly see. Please let me know when they are ready. Are they ready?
Still
the time. Okay. So I can at least cover these things. Two were which were known is that what were the two reasons? One was that Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. Paritranaya Sadhunam means to protect the devotees of the Lord. That is what is the purpose of Lord Rama's appearance. So this is one of the external reasons for Lord Rama's appearance.
The second external reason is that paritrana sadhana vinashaya chaduskritam. So to annihilate the demons, okay, and to annihilate the demons, and to, of course, also upon the request of the demigods and the Lord Brahmas, Lord Rama appeared. So these were the two external reasons. Now what were the two internal reasons which were hidden? So one of the confidential reasons is that Lord Rama wanted to enjoy with all his devotees in different rasas. In different rasas. We know that there are five different rasas. Okay? Shantaras, Dasiras, Sakhiras, Madhuriras, and Vatsilaras. These are like five different rasas. Lord wanted to enjoy with all his devotees. He wanted to give a chance to all the devotees so that they can relate to him and they can exchange the love with him. That is the reason, internal reason why Lord Rama came. Now fourth reason is little peculiar and little unusual, but also not heard quite frequently. There's a beautiful story behind this also, and this is also one of the confidential reasons. In the Ikshvaku dynasty, that's where the dynasty with Lord Rama actually appeared. At one point of time, to King Ikshvaku, Lord Ranganath, the Lord Ranganath's deity, was given by Lord Vishnu. The Lord Ranganath's deity was given to Lord Brahma by Lord Vishnu to worship. Lord Brahma worshipped it for some time. And then the deity of Lord Ranganath was given by Lord Brahma to the King Ikshvaku. And then King Ikshvaku started worshipping Lord Ranganath for many, many years. And he came, it actually went on into his dynasty. And then that worship came to King Dasharath. Dasharath Maharaj started worshipping him very opulently. But Ranganath was not pleased at all. He wanted more worship and nicer worship and with more devotion. This doesn't mean that he wasn't doing with much devotion, Dasharath Maharaj. But Ranganath was not pleased. He still wanted more. So here, one purpose is that quantity is not a significant factor in the worship of Lord. What actually attracts the Lord's heart is the quality, the love and devotion. Lord Ranganath finally decided, okay, let me take a birth in your own dynasty and come as Lord Ram and teach the principles of love and devotion to everybody and the worship to everybody. And that's how Lord Ranganath then came as Lord Ram, okay, in the dynasty of Ikshvaku. So these are some of the significant reasons of Lord Rama's appearance in the dynasty of Ikshvaku. Now, there were some of the very significant pastimes in the Lord Rama's childhood, and also his siblings' childhood, his siblings' pastimes. When all the babies were kept in the cradles, okay, they were kept in a particular order. First cradle was Lord Rama, then the next cradle was actually was Bharat Maharaj. And the next cradle was Lakshmana, and the last cradle was Shatrughna's cradle. Now this was little unusual. Every child was crying. And all the mothers, three mothers, they came running. And they wanted to pacify all the four children. But they were actually not able to pacify them. And they were thinking, what happened? My God, this is unusual. How can we actually pacify them? And then they summoned Vasishtha Maharaj, their Kulaguru Vasishtha, and they requested him, please find some solution. We are not able to pacify our sons. And then Vasishtha saw them. He realized that all the children, all the babies were in a particular order. What did he do? He shuffled them. He put Ram first, then he put Lakshmana, and then he put Bharata, and then Shatrughna later. Now, at that point of time, on their faces there were some wrinkles. But all those wrinkles, they faded away, but the crying did not stop. All the babies were still crying. Then what did Vasishtha did? Vasishtha, the sage Vasishtha, he took Lakshmana from his cradle and he put in the cradle of Lord Rama. And it was, though both were cracked, but Lord Rama and Lord Lakshmana immediately stopped crying. So did Bharat and Shatrughna. So it shows that Lord Rama and Lord Lakshmana were eternally together. And Lakshmana always wanted to be with Lord Rama. And this became a magic formula for the entire family, for the mothers as such. They realized that if the babies cry, what they are supposed to do? They are supposed to keep Lakshmana and Lord Rama together. So that is what they found this wonderful magic formula. Now on this particular day, the auspicious day of Lord Rama's appearance day, we should not just try to worship Lord Rama on only one day, on Lord Rama's appearance day. On any barren land, okay, if it has to made into a fertile land, there should not be raining only one day. There has to be constant raining. Then only the soil becomes moist, and then it can grow a sweet sugar cane. In similar way, in spirituality, we also have to do the same thing. We do not have to worship Lord Ram on only one day. We have to worship Him every day, and we have to, just like Lord Rama to birth on this Ram Navami, we also have to make Lord Rama's appearance in our heart every day and every time. With that request and with that small prayers at the lotus feet of Lord Shri Ram, I would like to give a pause here. Thank you. Jai Shri Ram Chandra Bhuvan Ki
Jai.
God Premande. On this auspicious day, I don't think we should have any questions. We should rather meditate on Lord Shri Ram. But I want to give you one assurance that we will continue our Lord Rama's pastimes from today onwards. Tomorrow also we will have the pastimes, and also day after tomorrow. Day after tomorrow evening, we will be again having the glories of Lord Rama. At 5 o'clock. Thank you. And I would like to request Prabhuji now, please, to take over. There will be a short drama on Lord Rama's pastime.